but it's really blossomed and borne some really nasty fruit over the last few years, especially. So, again, my name is Joel, and I became interested in this topic probably about maybe a decade ago when I saw it starting to creep into the church and causing a lot of confusion, a lot of distortion in the gospel. So it became kind of my aim, my goal to understand it and to refute it from a biblical perspective. So I take very, very complicated things and turn them into simple things, hopefully, and practical things. So that's what we're going to try to do here. So let me just kind of lay out how this is going to go, and then we'll get to our actual lesson here. So I have a presentation that I'm going to make available to all of you, and I'm going to give you access to this notebook. This notebook has several tabs here. So there's presentations, which is where I'll put all the lessons. And then there's resources. Right now what I have up there is a dictionary of critical theory terms. So if you want to know what they mean by, by the word anti-racism, or if you want to know what BIPOC means, or how they use the word body, etc., they have a specific jargon that they use. So what I've done is I put together a dictionary, and that's just one of the resources that I have here in this notebook. And then I'm going to give you guys some assignments to work on at your leisure throughout the week, so you guys can practice what we've been learning. So I do want to make this available to you guys. So what I need you to do is there's a contact information sheet somewhere around here. And if you want access to this, I will send you the link via email, and then you'll have my email address, and that is how you guys can to give you the most bang for your time. But I also don't want to rush. So if there's stuff that we have to leave off in this first lesson, we'll just pick it up next time. So make sure you sign that sheet, give me your email address so I can make this available to you. What else do I need to talk about? Let's go over the course goals. Now, I printed out a little sheet for you. And something for you to jot some notes down. And I put the goals of this course on here. So what we want to do with this, these are things that I want you to be able to do by the time we're done here. So I want you to be able to define critical theory and draw a nice little tight circle around what is critical theory and what isn't. And we're going to do that today. So the title of this first lesson is Getting to the Root. So that's what we're going to do today. I want you to be able to differentiate critical theory from Christianity. And just like you do this with other worldviews like atheism or Buddhism or New Age thought, you can look at it, you can hear what somebody's saying, and you have a category for it. You can say, oh, I know what that is. That's New Age. I know what to expect from this conversation, and I know how to engage with it biblically. I want you guys to have a category for critical theory in your thinking, so you can kind of develop a type of immune system for it. I want you to be able to break down critical theory arguments and claims, to understand them, and to really understand the key issues, and I want you to be able to refute them. That's going to be a big part of what we do in this course. And then we're going to provide an alternative to critical theory from a biblical perspective. And we're using scripture. And what I think is that as far as Christians are in the best position to be able to refute this and to be able to offer an alternative, because we actually have standards for what justice means, and we know how to relate to each other given our differences. We have a basis for all these things. So we're going to look at an alternative to offer people so that we're not just criticizing critical theory. We actually have something better to offer. So those are the things I want you to be able to do. The way that this is going to go is, lesson number one, we'll define it, we'll get to the root of it. We will then next week, hopefully, if we get through it, we'll compare the critical theory worldview with the Christian worldview. And that's where you're going to see the difference really pop. And we're going to use those two. You really don't want to miss these two lessons, because we're going to use that as a basis going forward. So those two are going to set a foundation for us. Then we're going to talk about what I call the bite. This is how people get sucked in, how the religion of critical theory works, how it behaves. And we'll trace the history of critical theory. And it's actually this is a species that it belongs to a greater family of worldviews that's in the general area of Marxism. And it goes back a few centuries, and maybe longer than that. So we'll look at the history of critical theory. And then for the bulk of our course, we're going to practice refuting this thing from many different angles. So we're going to talk about, the big one is critical race theory. That's what everyone's hearing about, right? And we're going to hit that, and then we'll talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, because that's really big, especially in the corporate scene. You've probably encountered that. If you've been to a diversity training seminar, you have encountered what's called DEI. So we'll talk about that, and then we'll go to feminism, hopefully, and issues of gender and sexuality. And if you have anything else that you would like to see covered, once you get my email, you're free to email me or talk to me about what you would like to see covered in here. And then we want to get to the how this manifests in the church, and we want to expose it and refute it. And then we're going to offer an alternative from a Christian perspective. Okay? So we're going to dive right in. Any of you guys gardeners? You mean garden? Right? So why can't I just, when I see weeds, why can't I just pick them off by the stem?
Because the root.
Because they go deeper, right? So there's a root there, and if I just pick off the top, they're going to grow back, right? So that's what we have to do here with critical theory. Too many people spend time messing around with the wrong things in critical theory. You know, they're talking about whether or not male privilege exists or whether white privilege exists. Those are all beside the point. So we want to get down to the root. And that's going to help us refute it. So let's look at scripture first. I made this really big so it'll fit and you guys can actually read it. So you guys think that God cares about justice? It's all over the Bible. If you just type in the word justice into a Bible search engine, you're going to get a lot of hits, and you're going to see how much God cares about justice. So just a few examples here from Exodus 23. It says, "You shall not follow the masses in doing evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after a multitude in order to pervert justice. Keep far from a false charge, and do not kill the innocent or the righteous, for I will not acquit the guilty. You shall not take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts the cause of the just." I like Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19 is a great chapter of Scripture, isn't it? That's where we get the verse, "You will love your neighbor as yourself." That's where that verse comes up. And Leviticus 19:15 says, "You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor defer to the great, but you are to judge your neighbor fairly." And on and on and on it goes. That God really cares about justice. He wants to make sure that everybody gets it, and that it's not perverted. So we really need to get this right, because at the root of this whole thing, at the center of this whole thing, is really a different definition of justice, a different definition of right and wrong. So if society has started to define justice in a different way than the Bible defines it, and if we get that wrong, we're going to get a lot of things wrong. So that's why this is important, is because it really twists God's definitions of right and wrong. And it twists the gospel as well. Alright, so I want you to see if you guys can understand. Tell me if you guys can maybe understand or refute. I think you can refute easily the things that these people are saying. Because critical theory arguments often come with this big tangled wall of claims. So this person, this Congresswoman Cori Bush, this is a few months ago, she said every day black birthing people and our babies die because our doctors don't believe our pain. My children almost became a statistic. I almost became a statistic. You guys know what she's talking about when she uses the word birthing people?
No.
Is that clear to you what the message is there?
No.
Okay, maybe that was too easy. Let's try another one. Let's try this one. Okay, heterosexual and woman-focused lactation language can misgender, isolate, and harm trans-masculine parents in non-heteronormative families.
That English.
You got that?
Yeah, we got it.
Clear as a bell, isn't it?
Yeah.
Here's another one. Free yoga for BIPOC and trans folks with an X. That's in the dictionary, by the way, if you want to check that word out. We are now offering unlimited free drop-ins to BIPOC and transgender students. In doing this, our intention is to support BIPOC and trans students in their yoga practices, offer more opportunities for easily accessible self-care, redistribute wealth and opportunity to groups that are often unseen and underserved, and welcome more diversity and inclusivity in the yoga room. So, again, all these claims come in these very complicated packages, so we're going to try to unravel these things and see if we can understand this. So critical theory is one of these things. And when I teach biology, we have to define what life is. And life is kind of difficult to define, it turns out. You know when you see it, but it's kind of hard to define. Critical theory is like that. But I think most of us in this room, if you have any experience with this worldview at all, you know it when you see it. We're talking about things like denouncing white privilege, accusing normal people of being white supremacists, seeing racism and sexism everywhere, the push for expanding gender categories, demanding the use of certain pronouns, words like cis-heteronormativity, and replacing beloved characters with women that look like radical feminists. You guys know what I'm talking about? So that is critical theory. It's this movement, it's a worldview, it's an ideology, and we know it when we see it, but it's really hard to define. And here are all the names that it has gathered over these years. For a long time, I've come to calling it social justice, because that is what we called it. That's what we call it for a good number of years. Then the popular use switched to critical theory. But everybody knows what being woke means, right? Everybody's heard that term before. Intersectionality, anti-racism, neo-Marxism or cultural Marxism. And a new one that in Christian circles they're calling it critical social justice, which I think is a really good name for it. But because critical theory is kind of the popular one right now, that's the term I'm going to use. All right. So you hear a lot about critical race theory. But critical theory is, the reason I'm not calling it critical race theory is because it goes way beyond just race. As you guys saw in some of those quotes, right? So this is from the Black Lives Matter website. They say, "We affirm the lives of black, queer, and trans folks, disabled folks, undocumented folks, folks with records, women, all black lives along the gender spectrum. Our network centers those who have been marginalized within black liberation movements." So there, even there, you can see that this is about more than just race. And you can see that in the quote that I brought up in the beginning, she used the word birthing people. It's clear that this is about more than just race. So what is critical theory? So this is really important that we define this correctly. Very often people define critical theory incorrectly. So they say I think this whole thing has to do with hatred for white people. Maybe it has to do with hatred for men, Christians. And none of those things is true. So it can be used for that, but that's not what it is. Because that doesn't explain the specific behavior of this ideology. Neither does this one. What they think that critical theory is a hierarchy with the most victimized at the top in the kind of oppression Olympics. That doesn't really cover it either. And some people think it's actually a conspiracy to divide and conquer in our country. It's actually none of those things. So before I define it, I want to make a really important point that because I call this thing critical theory, I want to focus more on the content of their beliefs and less on the words. Now, the reasons for this is that we often have different definitions for the words critical theory. And you see this plain as day when you start to get into conversations with people that adhere to this ideology. And they move the target very often. So I was on the phone with somebody, give a little bit of background. I was tasked with the place that I work to look into a diversity training consulting firm. So I called around a few places, and I knew exactly how these conversations were going to go. So I set some questions up in just the right order. And one of the first questions that I asked them was, "Do you guys subscribe to critical race theory? What do you think about critical race theory? What do you think?" They said. They said, "Nope, we don't do that." Every time. And then I would ask questions about the content of what they believe. So I think in that particular conversation I asked them, "Well, you guys do inclusion, equity and inclusion." And I'm not kidding you, his words were exactly. Our goal is equity, but we use different words so that there's more buy-in. We use the word, now the Christian word, by the way, is belonging. It's not inclusion and equity, it's belonging. So focusing on terms, on semantic terms, allows them to kind of shift the target. So we want to more focus on beliefs. So just note that people, just like with the term evolution, right? People might have different definitions for that word. So you have to define it when you're going into conversations. Got an example. You guys can read over those later. So here's my definition. And I'm going to show you through example after example that this model really works. So critical theory is a worldview at the very bottom of it. It's a different way of seeing reality. That involves a different view of truth, a different view of right and wrong, a different view of human history, a different view of human beings, etc. So this is what the critical theory worldview is made up of. So the first one is it's a set of values that they use to judge society by, and that makes up a vision for what they think the world should be like. Let me explain that. So it's a set of values regarding how the world should work, and it has to do with equality for identity groups. Now, identity groups means blacks, whites, trans people, cis people, gays, etc. That's what I mean by identity groups. And equality for all behaviors. So this is, and when I say equality, this is what I mean. They don't define equality in the same way that we do, if you haven't noticed that. This is their image, by the way, not mine. So they say that equality, this came from an article about education, and you can't apply the same standards to all students. You have to create a situation where everything is what they call equitable. And you hear this word equity all the time, but this is what it means, that we're not looking at applying transcendent standards to everybody, like God's word would have us, in justice. We're talking about creating external equality of results. Sometimes it's called equality of outcome. So that is the first part of the worldview, is this vision for an equal world. Equality defined the way that I just did. The second part of the worldview is a set of lessons. So they interpret the world in such a way to explain why their vision is not the case. So why don't we have equality for trans people? And I'll give this example next, but it's a really, really easy example. Why don't we have equality for trans people in society? Oh, it's because of these things called systems of oppression. And what they mean by that is belief systems, value systems, laws, language, institutions that marginalize people. And I'll give you an example in just a little bit. So They have a vision for how the world should work, for an equal world. They have a way to interpret the world to explain why that isn't the case. So they interpret the world through the glasses of systems of oppression. And then the third thing is activism, to tear down the systems and make the vision come true. Let me give you a few examples. So let's do trans issues first. So let's go back to this beginning quote. We'll kind of just work our way through these examples. So when she uses the word birthing people, that's meant in the place of what word? Mothers. Mothers who give birth, right? So women who give birth to children. So they're using the word birthing people for a specific reason. So this is from Neural. This is a tweet. And they said, when we talk about birthing people, we're being inclusive. It's that simple. We use gender-neutral language when talking about pregnancy because it is not just cisgender women that can get pregnant. That is women that identify as women when they were born women, right? That's what opposite of trans. It is not just cisgender women that can get pregnant and give birth. Reproductive freedom is for everybody. So let's look for these three things in those statements. So there's a vision, there's a value system that goes like this. So it's a world where trans people are not marginalized and where they have equal experience in society to cis people. So they're not marginalized by our language, they're not marginalized by our basic beliefs about gender. They want equality. The interpretation through the lens of systems of oppression, they say that trans people are being oppressed by our basic beliefs about gender. So we believe in our society that there's males and females. And that belief is oppressive. It's oppressive because what it does is it takes trans people and pushes them to the margins so that there's not equality. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And then the activism is to liberate trans people by making trans normal. And how are they going to make it normal? Well, by changing the language for one thing. Right? So they're going to dismantle words like mother, and they're going to put in place words like birthing people. And that all of that is an attempt at centering the marginalized or creating equality.
No, it's not the word, it's the mother.
So that's one of the most destructive things. But maybe it might be the most destructive thing about this worldview is that it takes good values and good belief systems. It deems them oppressive, and then it tears them down. And we've seen that happen in our society at a really breakneck pace. Let's try to get through a couple more here. Did you guys ever see a meme like this? Cure ableism, not autism. So the idea behind this, so this is in the category, so we just did trans issues, now we're going to do disabled persons issues. So and by the way, I just want to make clear that we love people that have problems with how they identify, right? We love people that have this discord between their body and their mind in terms of gender, right? None of this is to denigrate those people. None of this. I am talking about the ideas. I'm not talking about these people. So, this is the way this thing goes when it comes to disabled people. So the idea is that society was built by and for able-bodied people, people without disabilities. And what that does is that creates a bunch of norms, right? Normal is considered non-disabled. People that can see are considered normal. People that can hear are considered normal. And what those beliefs do is that they push disabled people to the margins in a lot of different ways. And they call the system of oppression ableism. And so let me give you an example, just to drive the point home here. This is an article from a website called Everyday Feminism, which if you want to, I caution you because it's not Christian at all, but so you need to be careful when you go there, but it's going to show you, if you want to know critical theory, go there, if you want to understand it. So this is entitled, Disabled People Don't Need to Be Fixed. We need a cure for ableism. So this person says, in a perfectly accessible world where all disabled people are fully included in society and treated equitably, hear that? The pressure to conform likely wouldn't exist. Everyone would have the freedom to exercise full bodily autonomy. So there's the vision, the value system on display for you right there. Well, and they say, and then there's also implied in there the system of oppression. Okay, these are things called ableist slurs. You've heard of racial slurs, but these are ableist slurs. Things that are considered oppressive to say. Things like stupid, dumb, crazy, psycho, crippled, blind, idiot, mad, deaf. So these are things, I just want to remind you that Jesus actually used the word to criticize the spiritually blind. And so he assumed that blindness was a bad thing, and he healed blind. But you're not supposed to say these because this is part of the system. This is part of the oppressive system where we have beliefs in our society that marginalize disabled people, and that shows up in our language, right? So we have a set of values here. They want a world where disabled people are not marginalized or considered abnormal, and where they have equal experience in society. The reason they don't have that, the interpretation is that there's an oppressive system. There's our basic beliefs and norms regarding the human body and society, and those oppress them. You see how foundational this goes? This goes to the very bedrock of what we believe about reality. And the goal of this worldview is to tear it all down. So don't let them trick you into thinking that this is all, because what they're going to tell you is that, well, this is just about compassion. This is just about treating everyone with dignity. It is far from that. It is a different value system. And it is a destructive value system. So don't let them do that to you. The goal here is to liberate disabled people by changing the way we all think about the human body so that everyone's considered normal. And that is as extreme as it sounds. So I think we're pretty much out of time here. We should pick this up next time. So I'll pick it up here. We'll finish this lesson. I got another couple of examples, and then we'll move on to the lesson on worldviews. Sign that sheet so I can email you. And we'll see you guys next time.